This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Without doubt, our favorite time of week, 9:09. We get to talk eating and drinking with Ian McNulty. Then we got some weekend winners from JR. JR on a roll with his free picks that he gives on air, and I cashed in. Whoopsie. I cashed in the last 2 weeks on both of them. Last week was the over in the Indiana-UCLA game. So keep listening for that. I'm going to tell you what. Of course, nobody's 100%, but JR's been killing it. Ian McNulty, who was last week deeply immersed in deep graw, I'm guessing. How you doing, Ian McNulty?
I am great, Tommy, and great to be back with you. Yeah, it was quite the carnival time. It was long. It was wonderful while it was, and it was the But on Tuesday, Mardi Gras prevailed, you know, for it all, that we found a way. So it was great. But great to be on the other side. And I know that I did it up properly because when Tuesday late afternoon rolled around, I was ready for not just the day, but for Carnival to be over.
Well, it was it was a long season. You know, I mean, I think March 19th is the latest it can be. So it was March 4th. Maybe March. I might have that date wrong. You know what I wanted to ask you about? I lived here all my life, right? And things change. And I saw Friday referred to as Locals Friday in the Quarter. I don't know if that's a relatively new thing or not. I know it had become big, but tell me about the history of that, because you're a bon vivant. You're a man about town.
Well, actually, I dug into it this year. There's a story on NOLA.com that I did about it last week
regrettably
we couldn't talk about because I was off gallivanting on Friday for that day. But it basically, what I've noticed, it kind of explains this in the story, is a lot of restaurants have embraced this idea of Friday gras. Now, that term itself has stirred up a lot of debate about what it should be called. Is it Locals Friday? Is it just the Friday before Mardi Gras? Is it, apologies to my French teacher, Vendredi Gras? Is, you know, in the style of Lundi Gras? Is it just Friday? I mean, give me a break. Do we need to name everything? or is it, Hermes Friday, Coup d'etat Friday? Well, the restaurants have decided that there's a lot of people who just want to go out and party and kick off a weekend that basically lasts until Ash Wednesday. And they have embraced this with deals, with special, you know, people buying out entire dining rooms, with special brunches, restaurants that rarely open for lunch, opening for that Friday lunch in particular, and really doing it up. And what you see is really, locals kind of flooding the quarter, possibly before a lot of tourists arrive for the weekend. And the roots of it, I think, will certainly indisputably go back to the old line crews that have typically by tradition, nothing's typical, it's always by tradition with the Old Line crews, taken over certain restaurants, certain Old Line French Creole restaurants, for their luncheons before the parades or in the week leading up to Mardi Gras. So Antoine's is basically the peak of this. Antoine's is deeply entwined with carnival culture. So Rex does its enormous luncheon there on Wednesday. Hermes is there on Friday before its parade that night. I think it's Proteus on Monday. Each of these luncheons seats like 1,000 people, and there's overflow to other restaurants from people affiliated with those crews, spouses, and other people. If there's not enough room for every single person in the restaurant. And so that Friday in particular, with Hermes taking over Antoine's and all the spillover and just the festive scene, it kind of set the stage. And a lot of other Old Line restaurants have riffed on that. I mean, Galatoire's at this point, for many years, has auctioned off the tables in its dining room for that Friday before Mardi Gras, to the highest bidder because the demand to get in is so high. They just decided to turn the craze into a charity. They give all the money, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to charities for it. But so what you're seeing is other restaurants that are not so deeply part of the custom and tradition, picking it up for everyday folks, right? Like, you're not getting into Antoine's on the Friday before Mardi Gras unless you happen to somehow, pierce the societal veil of the crew of Hermes. It's the Friday Gras tradition for everyone else. And so in the quarter, you see people just dolled up. Some people, guys in suits, but lots of people in costumes and glitter and flair. And so much more modern restaurants, newer restaurants, restaurants in different parts of town have embraced that too. And so I would say, if that sounds like fun to you, and it was fun for me going out and about that Friday, it really was, probably now is not a bad time to start planning for the earlier Mardi Gras coming up. And I'm serious, because that's how far out some of these things are planned. And so the Quench Quarter really comes to life with all these private parties and with people kind of doing it up on their own terms, with that realization that you can have your own private party with a festive six top or an eight top or a four top or a two top if the two of you are crazy enough at these restaurants, just if you bring the right spirit. And on the Friday before Mardi Gras, whatever we're calling it, it's easy to get into that spirit. So, yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah, the auction last year at Galatoire's, I see your article here, brought in $284,000, eight top, or table for eight, going for $22,000. And I saw, as I was going home last week, a lot of young ladies dressed with the, I guess, smaller hats on their heads or whatever it is, making it a fashion occasion. But this is not just the French Quarter. And it's interesting that I should ask you about this. I didn't know you had written an article about it. But it does seem as though this is getting bigger and bigger each year, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the tradition is the tradition. Those things are set like into perpetuity, I think, as long as New Orleans can keep the water at bay, people are going to be going to their traditional tables at Antoine's and at Brennan's and such, forever. But it's interesting for people who hear this and think, that sounds like a good time. I'm not working on Friday before Mardi Gras. I'm going to do it up, spackle on some glitter and, button up the bustier and then go join the party, is these other newer restaurants that are setting the stage for it. And I think that's really fun. I think it expands, broadens, and kind of makes the tradition a little more egalitarian. And that reflects Mardi Gras in general, because, it's no longer just the Old Line crews that you have to sort of have a bloodline or the right marriage connection to get into. With newer crews, more marching groups, dance troupes, all the other auxiliary elements that join the Mardi Gras processions. And then those people have their own clubs and crews and societies, and it's a different vibe on the same theme that is Carnival in New Orleans, and that's why it's so increasingly beautiful, I think, of Mardi Gras, because there's so many more access points. And of course, our restaurants and our bars are the stage for a lot of that. Just like the streets are the stage for the parades, the restaurants and bars are sort of the galleries for the pre-parties and such.
Get a couple of different texts here. My friends and I have been lunching in the French Quarter Friday before Mardi Gras for like 7 years. Best day. So much fun. Very local. Everybody dresses up. And I don't think they mean in costume. I think they mean dresses up like
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you say that word?
Yeah, putting on the Ritz. I think it's both, though, Tommy. And that's Mardi Gras, isn't it? It's the traditional and the absurd. It's the formal and the spectacular next to each other. And that's one thing I love about Mardi Gras. You know, it doesn't happen without the framework that the old line traditional crews set up and maintain. And it just wouldn't be as much fun if it wasn't for the impromptu sort of street theater of people just dressing up to entertain and be delightful to each other and have a great time in our city the way we do it. You know, I heard a great analogy recently that, the Super Bowl was a party that we threw for other people and we really, weren't invited to it. Whereas Mardi Gras is the party we always throw for ourselves. And that's what it felt like throughout the streets. And I'm a big fan of what New Orleans did for Super Bowl this year, by the way. But as far as just making it your own and joining the party, Mardi Gras, it's just as easy as joining in the spirit and getting out there. And again, hats off to our restaurants and bars who, when everyone else is in party mode, they're partying a bit too, but they're working really hard and they're opening up those hospitality spaces that give so much character and framework for it all.
For Super Bowl, we kind of Airbnb the city out is what we do.
It was like this giant bubble of people with all the money in the world kind of descended like Glinda, the Witch of the East, in a bubble and landed in New Orleans with all their toys and their yachts and their helicopters and then took off to do that wherever they do that next for the next big thing. But
real quick, I know they got some other stuff you want to talk about. We could take a break. But before we do, I wanted to ask you about with Friday Gras, and I know you got Commander's Palace, I think, mentioned in your story. Is this spreading to other restaurants outside of the quarter? And secondly, when it comes to Mardi Gras, do upper end restaurants really experience is it a good time of year for them or not?
I'll take those in reverse order. Yeah, right. It's a great time. It throws off the rhythms, of course. If you're in the box, if you're out of the box, those are all giant considerations for it. But generally, I mean, the town's packed with people and lunches are really big before the nighttime parades. It's private parties. It's a lot of bookings. It's a carnival of cashing in for sure. Not universal, you know, just depends where you are, of course, much like the Super Bowl experience. But to the first part of that, a big point of it is expanding from the French Quarter. Ralph's in the Park, Mid-City has a huge day with it. Commanders, you mentioned, I mean, I'm seeing places in the Warehouse District, and I predict it'll spread more and more. Like Le Petit Grocery, for instance, their sister restaurant, Justine, in the French Quarter, completely booked with a private party every year for that Friday Gras, whereas Le Petit Grocery up on Magazine Street, just a block off the route in the box, is more like people who just want to go out and have their own festive lunch with that four top or six top I talked about and kind of, a crew of one's own, and that's, again, that's the spirit of Mardi Gras. You just make it your own, come in with the right attitude, maybe a little flair, do it up, order a couple more bottles of wine than you usually would at lunch, and don't go back to the office.
The attitude. And I also know it seemed like some local people staying at hotels with this Friday Gras. I know they got other stuff to talk about. We'll get to it when we come back talking to Ian McNulty, eating and drinking. Y'all got any questions? 504-260-1870. Somebody corrected me. I said March 19th. That seemed kind of late. March 9th is the latest that Mardi Gras can possibly be. Thank you for that. I think next year it's February 17th, so it's going to be a shorter period. More with Ian McNulty when we return here on WWL. 9:27, back with Ian McNulty, talking eating and drinking. We've already looked back and covered Friday Gras. What happens now, Ian, in the restaurant industry? What's got your attention?
Oh, well, I've got two very different restaurants for you that I wrote up this week they've been on my mind for a while, and I wanted to wait until Mardi Gras haze cleared to kind of put them on people's radar, but they definitely should be. These places on paper couldn't be more different, but they're both excellent. One of them is in Metairie. It's called Dr. Jones. And, Tommy, this is what happens when two chefs leave the fine dining world and decide to basically open a diner. And start out with a pretty basic menu, but just start doing their chefly things. And before you know it, they've got a really different, interesting spot on their hands. Dr. Jones is on Vets. It was once Yakuza House. People with long memories will know it was Giovanni's Po' Boys back in the day. It's by Majoria Drugs. It's a tiny, tiny little storefront. Just open for lunch, dinner one night a week, Saturday. It's a BYOB kind of place. And this sounds like BYOB. You just described it as a diner. Yeah, but it's a bit of both. It's a bit of a diner. It's a bit of fine dining. It's easy. It's affordable. It's fun. It's a couple chefs who came out of the Donald Link restaurant group, Herb Saint and Koshan, respectively. They each ran the kitchens there for a time. And it's dishes that taste like New Orleans cooking, but not like you're making at home. Not your standard at all. A little bit of Vietnamese in there, because that's very New Orleans now. And a gumbo. I'll just describe the gumbo, okay? It's a chicken andouille gumbo. But to make it, they're roasting the tomatoes and the okra overnight. So that adds umami. There's dried scallops and shrimp in the gumbo that you cannot see. And I tell you, I could not distinctively taste it. It wasn't like this is a scallop gumbo. Mm-hmm. But that dried shellfish just explodes with umami once it hits the roux. And there's even these Haitian black mushrooms called John John. That, again, you're not eating this thinking, oh, that's a Haitian black mushroom. This is a mushroom gumbo. It's a chicken andouille gumbo that just has a roux that pulses with flavor because of all the little chefly tricks they put into it long before you ordered it. And that kind of sets the stage for the whole menu. Tiny place, 20 seats, a little diner counter with an open kitchen, two chefs and a cook and maybe one waiter working the place. Dr. Jones, check out photos on my Instagram, at Megan McNulty Nola. And the story's on NOLA.com.
And where is the restaurant, Ian?
Veterans. I want to say 1325 off the top of my head. But it's on
bro, Veterans. Addresses mean nothing. What's it next to?
Right. It's next to Majoria Drugs.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Between Martin's and Dorniak's, if you're stopping for BYOB. Now, the other place, I know we're going to be quick here. The other place is Deep Uptown. So we're going from Vets in Metairie to Deep Uptown. Mm-hmm. Gautreaux's restaurant, right? It's been there forever.
Right.
Beloved place, uptown institution, kind of on a footing with Clancy's, that kind of thing. Right next door to it, the Gautreaux's people opened a new lounge. It's called Avenue, or is it Avegno, like our city health director? It's properly pronounced Avenue or close to that, but I have a feeling, will it survive New Orleans pronunciation? Like much like Mosca's, Damascus. I'm putting my money on New Orleans pronunciation. But anyway, Avenue is a gorgeous little jewel box of a lounge that feels like you're stepping off of Sonyat Street and into a little piece of Paris. It's the sister to Gautreaux's, but it's very different, approach to the wine list, to the menu. It's a bar. It's essentially a wine bar with a really nice menu. And again, check out pictures again on my Instagram, Ian McNulty Nola, and the full write up on NOLA.com. But it is this little piece of elegance that is it's there for you if you're heading out to a special at night on the town. You want to start with a touch of class, or you're all dolled up and you don't want the night to end, or you're having dinner at Gautreaux's and you decide you want a pre dinner drink, a post dinner drink, or maybe both. You know, the one block date night with its own encore, that's a possibility. But you come in there, you're gonna find a wine list with a lot of glass, a lot of wines by the glass, a lot of half bottles, which is really nice touch for those kind of pre and post dinner visits when you don't want a full bottle. And food like French onion soup, fine French ham, very similar to jamon or prosciutto, oysters, fondue, cheese boards. You can make a meal of it. You can have a couple snacks. Boudin noir, the blood sausage, the black boudin. Fabulous. So a really interesting menu that you could build a dinner around for sure, but it's also there to stop in and have a glass of wine, a cocktail, and a snack. And again, it's called Avenue. It's right next door to Gautreaux's and is the sister concept from the same owners.
Would it be analogous to like, and I'm not trying to compare anything, but just like a Delicious kind of thing? Because what I'm thinking, Ian, is a lot of people, you know, maybe with weight loss, drugs, whatever, are eating less. And if you're looking for something lighter and a nice drink or a nice glass of wine, seems like it'd be the perfect place for that.
Delicious is always a good call. I'm calling.
No, I'm talking about your place. I'm talking about a venue.
Yes, yeah, no, but Avenue is more analogous to Lillette with Bologna Tavern right next door. So think about that comp. Like, Lillette is the full-on bistro. Bologna Tavern is, I would say, more about cocktails than wine, but, you know, a lounge menu, a lounge feel, a big bar. Avenue is sort of like more like the wine bar sister to Gautreaux's in that respect, and they're right next door to each other. I mean, it's like boom, boom, right there. Yeah, and you can have a lighter meal there. I mean, I the food is, would not call any of the food light necessarily, beyond the oysters. But if you're having, you know, fewer courses, if you're not sitting down to a textbook size slab of lasagna, of which I am a fan.
These
are smaller dishes and things you might share rather than having your traditional, you know, three-course meal with leftovers boxed up for later.
Somebody texted in a question, simply patois.
Yeah, patois. Hey, we're talking about the New Orleans patois of Avenue Avignon. Patois is fantastic. Maybe the cue for that was mentioning Clancy's, because patois is sort of like the more modern bistro just up the street from Clancy's. Again, another very deep uptown kind of find, not along a major avenue or street. You got to know it's back there. It's by City Park. It's on Webster Street, I want to say. But Aaron Burgau opened that. It was part of the class of restaurants that emerged right after Hurricane Katrina, you know, when New Orleans was starting to get its groove back in, I want to say, 2008 or so. And it's been rolling ever since. It still feels like a very modern restaurant. It has some kind of greatest hits that are always on the menu. The fish almondine there is just first class, and it's fantastic. But it's really more about some of the more creative dishes coming out of the kitchen around it. Whenever I drive by there, I'm just thinking about those lamb ribs that they often do. Great. Nice cocktails, too. And it's one of those upscale neighborhood spots, right? I have friends who live nearby, and that's their, like, kind of pop in on a Thursday night kind of a place. But it's definitely worthy for a reservation date night destination.
Ian McNulty, a pleasure as always. Sir, all you got to do is Google Ian McNulty or search it on whatever search engine. You can find everything you need to know about eating and drinking. A pleasure as always. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Tommy. I missed you last week. Bye.
Me too. Happy eating, happy drinking. But I know you had a good time wherever you were. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to JR from Taking Vegas. See what's going on with March Madness and more when we return. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Let's look at traffic.